You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 3rd of May 2023 and you're listening to me, Sam Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I thought we could take a look at the latest hate speech laws that are coming in Ireland, and I did think the law that was brought in Scotland was possibly the worst that I'd ever seen, but it does appear as if this Irish one is even worse. And remember, in Scotland, part of the law that they brought in was that if you were engaging in so-called hate speech within your own home, then you could be prosecuted, which of course means that anybody who has one of these Alexa machines that is constantly recording your speech, if you were to say anything negative about any of these groups with protected characteristics within your own home, around the dinner table or at breakfast, then I can see a time in the future when you could be prosecuted on something that Alexa recorded you from saying, which is bad enough. If somebody is just talking around the dinner table and they say something negative about one of these groups, they could be prosecuted. And I did wonder how they could actually come up with a law that's even worse than that. But it appears that they have done. In Ireland, Elon Musk has condemned forthcoming hate speech laws in one EU country as being a massive attack against freedom of speech. And it's good that he is drawing attention to this. He's done that on Twitter. Elon Musk is being put forward as this big defender of free speech, but he isn't really. Twitter isn't really that much better. I recently had my account banned on there. For no reason. They've written to me, they've said, "We, after careful assessment, we have decided that your account has broken the Twitter rules." And I have not even had one flagged tweet on there. I've not even had an argument with anyone for the last 4 years. And they're just not responding to me when I'm saying, well, what rule is it that I have supposedly broken? We know that Patriotic Alternative had their accounts removed, National Justice Party in America had their accounts removed. So in some instances, Elon Musk's Twitter might be better. I mean, some people that had banned accounts have had their accounts reinstated. But on the other hand, people like myself have just had their accounts removed for with no reason actually being given. I don't know whether this is down to Elon Musk or whether it's down to the people that are running Twitter for him, because he does appear to be quite principled about this, and he is drawing attention to what's happening in Ireland. And the main thing with this new Irish law is that they were just going to assume that if you have anything that is critical of these groups on your devices, they're just going to assume that you've got it because you wanted to spread it around and incite hate with it. There's no longer going to be the defence that, it was just for my personal viewing, or I'm just interested in this, and it wasn't for sharing around. They're just going to assume that you got it with the intention of inciting hate with it. So if you have any statistics, for instance, that could be portrayed in a negative light about any of these groups, such as disease rates among homosexuals or violent crime incarceration rates amongst black people, then that could be assessed as being, well, this is hateful. And the reason you've got this is because you wanted to incite people to hate these groups. And you would then be prosecuted for it, and you could then get 5 years in prison for this. Tech billionaire and Twitter CEO Elon Musk said that the impending hate speech laws in Ireland are a massive attack against freedom of speech. And it's actually been going on for a while over there. I found a news report from November last year that was warning about this. And recently, over the last week, we've also had Keith Woods drawing attention to this. And this bill has actually gone through Parliament. It's got one more stage to go through, I think. People were saying, well, this goes against the human rights. We need to put a clause in there about human rights. And that was voted down. So they do know what they're doing with this. They know exactly that it's going to prevent people from providing any opposition to government policies that surround these groups. They were even trying to bring it in that immigration itself was going to be a protected characteristic. So you literally would not be able to criticise Ireland's immigration policy without being accused of inciting hate. And of course, that was part of the United Nations Migration Compact that all these countries signed up to. Britain signed up to it. Theresa May signed up to it. And that was a part of this agreement that all the countries agreed to do, was to make it incitement to hate in order if people criticized immigration, which is, of course, a government policy. I mean, the pretense that these laws are actually about preventing violent attacks on these groups, it's just no longer even paid lip service to anymore, is it? I mean, especially when with COVID-19, and they said that providing different information about COVID-19 from the official government information, that was the equivalent of incitement to violence, because it could lead to people not getting vaccinated and getting COVID-19 and it being fatal. Therefore, providing alternative information from doctors or scientists, that was classed as incitement to hate as well. And now we have this idea that actually a government policy itself, immigration, which is a policy of the government, criticizing the government policy is incitement to hate. Under the proposed legislation, Irish authorities will be given the power to criminally convict people for a variety of hate offences, including the possession of material that could incite hatred in others if disseminated. So, as I say, that would mean having statistics, could mean having studies. It could mean the government's own studies, which show that there is a higher incarceration rate for black people than white people. It could mean government's own studies that show that the difference in academic achievement that there are between ethnic groups. And they will just assume that you have got this because you wanted to incite hate in others. And then it would be up to you to prove that that was not why you had this information. So instead of them having to prove that you have committed a crime, you would have to prove that you had not committed a crime. The proposed law also states that the country's justice system can simply presume that a person in possession of such hate material intends to distribute it if a court deems it reasonable to do so, prompting fear that the proposed law in effect is an attempt by the Irish government to usher in thought crimes. And they will just assume that's the reason why people have this. I mean, they've got two forms to this, whether you meant to incite hate or whether you were reckless in owning the material or sharing the material. So both of those assume that it's going to incite hate. And it basically says that people, they're not going to give people, they're not going to credit people with actually having any agency at all or being able to understand the difference between group statistics and individual behaviour. They're just not going to credit people with that at all. It's taking away people's responsibility for their own actions to have this incitement to hate stuff. People are responsible for their own behaviour. If they go out and attack somebody, you can't say, well, somebody else told me that this group weren't very intelligent and that's your reason for going to attack them. They won't accept that. The courts won't accept that. But yet that is effectively what they're saying here. They're saying that it's incitement to hate to talk about these differences that there are between groups. I don't see how they can say that it's hateful to talk about these things, though. I mean, we talk about them because they're facts of life, and we want to see government policies that are based on reality rather than government policies that are based on fantasy. And that would be better for all groups involved. It's got nothing to do with hating these other groups. But they're going to say here that just statistics that show differences could be considered to be hateful. I mean, are they going to have people that are going to decide what is hateful statistics and what is not hateful statistics? I mean, that's like George Orwell's Ministry of Truth, isn't it? The determining what is truth and what is not truth, what is real news and what is fake news. Despite criticisms being aired during a parliamentary debate earlier this week, Ireland's progressive government has continued to push through the bill, with it now being only a few steps away from becoming law in the country. And there were 14 or 15 parliamentarians who actually voted against this, who should be praised for doing so. I think Graham Lynham has highlighted them, but they've just pushed it through with a majority. Apparently these Ireland politicians have no concern about the way that this is going to prevent people from being able to air their opinions. I mean, you can go back to the Book of Acts, where St. Paul said, we must be able to speak what we see with our own eyes and we hear with our own ears, which is what this comes down to. You will not be able to discuss things that you see happening for fear of breaking this law. However, amidst concerns posted online about the coming legislation, Twitter head Elon Musk has now waded into the debate, denouncing the proposed Irish legislation as an attack on free expression. This is a massive attack against freedom of speech, Musk wrote on Saturday. Well, let's hope that he follows up on that and explains why this is and draws more attention to this. Musk's denunciation is likely to send ripples through the Irish political landscape, with many of the island's elite seemingly having a massive dislike for the South African-American entrepreneur. Even the country's former president, Michael D. Higgins, has taken pot shots at Musk in the past, decrying his takeover of Twitter as being a form of dictatorship last year. So when someone takes over Twitter and says that we just want to have lawful free speech on there, we don't want to be banning people because we don't like their politics, that's a form of dictatorship. I mean, I would suggest that what Elon Musk is trying to do is to make sure that Twitter is a democracy. You know, the whole internet used to be democratic. If something was popular, it used to rise to the top of the search function. But of course, things used to rise to the top of the search function that the aristocracy and the elites did not want people to know about. People would ask certain questions about World War II, and they would get the most popular answers would come up on the Google search engine. So they broke the Google search engine and made certain that when people asked these sorts of questions, they didn't get the most popular answers. They got the answer, the official answer, basically, which meant that the internet was no longer democratic, because instead of the websites that were the most viewed coming up in the search rankings, you got the websites that weren't really viewed that much at all, but were favoured by the people that owned the search engine. So to Google's strapline of don't do evil, I mean, clearly it's evil to be portraying false search results to people. I mean, you're telling a falsehood there, aren't you? And you're really going against the principles of democracy. They talk so much about upholding the principles of democracy, and yet they break them, they flagrantly break them with the way that the search engines function. However, while Ireland's politicians may not like him, Musk's opinions are still likely to have some weight in the country, thanks to its massive over-reliance on US multinationals within the tech and pharmaceutical sectors. And again, this is interesting because Twitter has headquarters in Ireland, and yet you had this Michael D. Higgins that was insulting Musk earlier this year. And I think they've also recently criticised Twitter. The EU have tried to say that there has been an increase in hate speech. We also saw this happening with the BBC, and the BBC did an interview of Elon Musk, and they accused him of presiding over an increase in hate speech, and yet the journalist that was interviewing him was unable to actually produce any instances of this. I mean, Musk was saying, well, surely you must have some if you're going to accuse me of presiding over more hate speech on your timeline. But please tell me where it is. Where is this disinformation or this hate speech? And the journalist was unable to find any. Musk's very own Twitter even has its own European headquarters located in the Irish capital of Dublin, with Ireland's regulatory bodies having significant control over the activities of the social media giant within the EU. And of course, this could create problems for Twitter, couldn't it? If they're going to say that any information that's published on there, which shows differences between groups, which they would say was inciting hate because it's showing that we're not all equal, we're not all the same. And that would mean that Twitter itself was breaking these laws, and they've said that they could ban Twitter. I don't really see why Twitter has to obey laws within the EU when it's an American company. I mean, okay, they've got a base that's within the EU. They would obviously have to stop having bases in the EU. That they'd have to have it all functioning within America. But surely they should be adhering to American laws if they're an American company. We see that GAB has said this. The Germans have written to GAB, and they've said GAB has to remove certain things. And they've said, look, we're an American company, and we stick to the American laws. You don't actually have any hold over us. And as far as I'm aware, GAB is still available in Germany. I mean, even if they did try to prevent Twitter from being available within Europe, people could still use a VPN, couldn't they? And then say that they were in America and they'd still be able to access it. Well, as I mentioned, there was another article about this from November last year. It says, those who use so-called hate speech will soon be jailed for up to 5 years under new legislation published on Thursday in Ireland. So literally just language, just talking about things, just talking about differences between groups could end up with somebody being jailed for 5 years, while somebody that actually carries out physical violence may end up not being jailed at all. It seems we think it is far more dangerous to society to have people talking about facts and statistics and studies than it is to have people actually going out and mugging people on the streets. Any individual found guilty of using hate speech in Ireland will soon find themselves facing up to 5 years in jail. The country's Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, has been at the centre of the country's push towards implementing effective hate speech legislation, with her department announcing on Thursday that the first draft of the new laws would soon enter the country's parliament. I mean, why do we have this hate speech legislation? Well, we're told that it's to prevent violence against minorities, and before the violence is actually carried out, there is a certain high degree of hate that must be present before somebody goes out and attacks an individual from one of these minority groups. Clearly, it's not supposed to be a simple dislike, and that was the logic of this, but it's now become used as a way to just prevent people from even talking about there being any differences. I mean, how is talking about the differences in educational attainment between groups, I mean, how is that going to make people feel such hatred for the other group that they're likely to carry out violence against them? Well, they're not, but we seem to have forgotten what the reason was behind this idea of hate speech in the first place. And now it's just something that can be determined by the government or a court or the Home Secretary. It was going to be the Home Secretary, wasn't it, in Britain, that was going to be able to define what was lawful but hateful speech, or whatever the terminology was that they were going to have in their online harms bill. Because it's a very nebulous term, isn't it? Hate. What does it mean? If you look in the dictionary, it says that it means something more than ridicule or contempt. And yet the way that it is interpreted today, it's literally showing anything that shows any difference between groups. I mean, this is why Professor Edward Dutton had to leave Britain, because he couldn't do his academic studies in the country. It was too much of a risk to do his academic studies here, because they show that there is differences between groups. Under the rules as proposed, those found guilty of any intentional or reckless communication or behaviour that is likely to incite a violence or hatred against a person or persons because they are associated with a protected characteristic would face up to 5 years in jail. So there's no way out of this, is there? Intentional or reckless. I mean, it just assumes that that's what, that this is incitement to hate. Whether you didn't think it was that and had no intention of sending it, then it would be reckless. If they say, well, you must have intended to incite hate with this because we think it's obvious that it's hateful statistics, then they're going to say that it's intentional. And, you know, the wording of this really doesn't seem to make that much sense to me, because as it says here, inciting hate against a group because they are associated with the protected characteristics. I mean, that would really seem to imply that if you were saying, well, you should hate this group of people because they're gay, or you should hate this group of people because they have black skin. And that's not what people are saying, are they? What people are saying are that there are different statistics, different averages associated with these groups, which show that perhaps it might not be such a good idea to be promoting homosexuality to children. Perhaps it might not actually be white racism that is causing there to be more blacks in prison for violent crime. And surely that's not a hateful thing to say. I mean, we're just pointing out that there are these different statistics that nobody is allowed to talk about, because you're accused of inciting hate if you do. And because we don't pay any attention to these statistics, we end up with an increase in child molestation. We end up with an increase in children with gender dysphoria. We end up with a huge increase in violent crime, because instead of targeting the resources where they could actually help, we're targeting the resources on things like diversity and inclusion and trying to encourage more transgenderism in schools, and instead of targeting the resources on the black community and helping them to police themselves, we're saying, well, what we need to have is judges being a little bit more lenient on the black criminals, because they might have suffered racism in their life. So all we're doing is we're suggesting that the resources of the government could be better placed than they are, and yet we get accused of hate speech for it. What's more, any individual convicted of such an offence would be branded a hate criminal, a label which the minister says is designed to follow an offender in court, in Garda, vetting, and so on. So once somebody had been found guilty of this, they had a Professor Edward Dutton book, which had some statistics in it on race and IQ, they would then be labelled as a hate criminal. And any time anybody investigated them for a job in the future, that would come flashing up on the computer screen. This is a hate criminal, which would, of course, mean that people would say, well, we certainly don't want to have hate criminals employed by us. What would happen if one of these left-wing NGOs discovered it? They would be publishing it in the newspapers and saying what awful people we were for employing hate criminals. So, I mean, it could effectively mean that you'd end up with no job, unable to work. Hate speech is not about free speech, McEntee declared in a statement published by her department. Well, hate speech is about speech that these people hate, isn't it? And if you're going to have free speech, you should be free to speak about anything. You should be free to speak about any opinion that you have, so long as you're not inciting people to go out and attack others. I mean, surely that would be a far sensible way to have this than to say, well, you're not allowed to say anything critical about any of these groups that we have decided have protected characteristics. Hate speech is designed to shut people down, to shut them up, to make them afraid to say who they are, and to exclude and isolate them. She continued, there is nothing free about that, and there is frankly no place for it in our society. And that's just incredible, isn't it? Because it's the opposite way around. It's the people that are talking critically about immigration, they're the ones that get shut down. And it's laws like this that are designed to shut down the opposition and prevent them from being able to criticise the government, to shut them up, to make them afraid to actually speak their opinion and to exclude and isolate them, such as when you end up losing your social media account or when you end up losing your bank account because of your political views. And it's just incredible that what they actually say is the opposite of the way that these laws actually work and the way that all of this works. The announcement that the current Irish government, which is now considerably unpopular in the wake of its chronic mishandling of the ongoing cost of living, housing and migrant crises, now aims to implement hate speech legislation as soon as by the end of this year, has angered many who have accused the ruling coalition of trying to silence critics. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what this legislation does. I mean, whether they intend that or not, that is the effect of it. It silences the opposition. It means that nobody can speak up in opposition against government policy that concerns any of these groups. Speaking to Breitbart Europe, a representative from Free Speech Ireland said that the Irish public was largely against the implementation of such legislation, and that the move would almost certainly strain policed resources in the country. And at least this is something that Suella Braverman has spoken about, is the fact that people want the police to be actually used to go after violent criminals and thieves and muggers and burglars. And instead, the resources are going on policing what people say online on their social media accounts. So it looks as if it's a similar thing over there in Ireland, only they don't really have anybody of such weight as the Home Secretary over there speaking about it. No one in Ireland asked for these laws, except for elite NGOs, the spokesman said, telling this publication that the new laws would almost certainly restrict freedom of speech in the country. And again, this is something that we see with all of this. It's not the people that ask for these laws. It's, as it says here, elite NGOs. Over here in Britain, it would be groups such as Hope Not Hate, groups such as Tell Mama, who supposedly monitor Islamophobia, all of these left-wing groups that masquerade as being charities, and they put pressure on the politicians and they put pressure on the government to do something about this sort of thing. And they say, well, there's been this huge increase in hate crimes, and people look at that and they think, oh no, huge increase in people being attacked simply because of what race they are. But that's not what's going on there. They include normal criticism of the behaviour, of group behaviour of these groups as hate crimes. They'll include people promoting Brexit on Twitter as hate crimes. I mean, that was something that Hope Not Hate were accused of doing, was fudging their statistics by just including anybody that supported Brexit in them. So they come out with this supposed huge increase in hate crime. They tell the government about this. The government say, well, we need to do something about this. And then they go to these NGOs to ask them how to craft the wording for these laws. So you end up with these extreme left-wing organisations that actually have a say in the wording of these laws. And of course, this is why we say, well, we need to have community representatives for white people, so that instead of just going to Tell Mama and Hope Not Hate and representatives of the Jewish community or the black community, they would also have to go to representatives of the white community, who could then say how these laws would end up impacting on the indigenous British people or the indigenous Irish people. And of course, then they would say, well, this is going to have a chilling effect on free speech. This is going to prevent people that are against unlimited immigration from speaking up about it. It's going to prevent people from organising in opposition to the government. And if the government are serious about democracy, then they would have to look very carefully at that and the chilling effect that it would have. But all the while, we don't actually have any community representatives for our people, there's not much hope of us being able to have any influence on the government when they are talking about bringing bills like this in. Continuing here, the spokesman said, as recently as 2018, the Irish public affirmed the right to free speech in the blasphemy referendum. This government is seeking to restrict the speech of voters, while members of parliament would have special protections for their own freedom of speech. And we've seen that over here in Britain, because Amber Rudd said that she wanted to make a hostile environment for illegal immigrants. And she was taken to court over that, because they said, well, this is hostility and the majority of the illegal immigrants are non-white, so she is saying we need to be hostile to non-whites. But because she was a member of parliament, the court decided that it was okay for her to say that. So we have a difference between what the people in parliament can say and what the general public can say, and this bill in Ireland would make that de jure. Instead of just de facto, it would actually have it in law that the members of parliament would have these special protections. And there would be different laws for different people, protected groups and unprotected ones, politicians and ordinary people, they went on to say. We know discontent is on the rise. At a time when police resources are at the brink, our political elite is looking to utilise such limited resources to silence the people. I mean, that could be one of the reasons for it, couldn't it? It could be because they can see the trends. They can see that people are getting poorer and poorer and they can't afford to pay their bills. And they're concerned that people might start organising around their ethnicity and trying to make democratic changes. So they're preempting that by preventing people from being able to say anything about the increase in immigration, possibly leading to some of these pressures that the people are feeling, sort of pressures about hospital waiting lists, pressures for council houses, pressures for places in schools. I mean, all of that, a significant amount of the pressure on those things is caused by the unlimited immigration. But then if you were to say that it's a result of the unlimited immigration, then you run the risk of being accused of incitement to hate and being sent to jail for 5 years. The notion that police could be weaponized against those who question progressive politics is not without precedent, with equivalent hate speech laws in neighbouring Britain now having repeatedly seen individual members of the general public arrested and hauled in front of courtrooms for questioning issues such as transgenderism. And that's the main one, with people just simply saying that humans are male and female. And they are biological males and biological females, and you cannot change your biology. That can be seen as hate speech, and people have been visited by the police for that. I've been confronted 3 times by police on the orders of online trolls. Graham Lynham, the famous Irish TV writer responsible for Father Ted and the IT Crowd, previously told Breitbart in regards to such anti-free speech legislation. I mean, this is the other thing. You could be having a debate with somebody online, a promoter of these left-wing progressive ideas, and when you end up defeating them in the argument, they just go to the police and say, well, this person was inciting hate. They were saying these critical things about these groups with protected characteristics. And then you've got the police coming in, and you've got the whole weight of the law being used just to try and defeat a side of the argument that wasn't defeated online. And that's the thing. If they were so sure that what they were doing was correct, why would they need to silence the opposition? Why would they need to shut down any debate and prevent people from actually having debates and from actually hearing the statistics, or at least hearing some different conclusions that can be drawn from the same statistics? Because don't forget, a lot of what we talk about as nationalists is government's own statistics, but the government will use those statistics to say, well, this is evidence of racism. Whereas, of course, we'll look at the same statistics and we'll say, well, this is evidence that these groups are actually different to one another. Your eyes are not deceiving you. They are different. The police in the UK have been acting on behalf of what is essentially a criminal gang of misogynists and con men who use muddled laws to avoid scrutiny and criticism, he went on to say. That's Graham Lynham, describing how embarrassed UK law enforcement have been whenever they have been forced to act against him due to the country's hate speech laws. And I do think most of the police they're not happy about this. They don't join the police because they want to be censoring what people say. They don't want to be being used to prevent people from criticising the government. They join the police because they have a sense of wanting to do good for society and wanting to go after the bad guys, particularly the bad guys that are involved in violence. Not the so-called bad guys because they criticise government policy. As I say, it's good that Elon Musk is drawing attention to this. It's good that Keith Woods is also drawing attention to this. It will be a sad day if it does actually get past Parliament, but unfortunately it does look as if it only has one more hurdle to pass. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.